Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, and welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report with the one and only Sister Marie and her trusty sidekick. I'm here in studio today. I got some chips, got some popcorn, got some grape juice, because I'm going to be entertained today. And this is going to be a great show. So make sure you got your snacks. If you like peanuts, if you like cashews, if you like pistachios, if you like tacos with dip, make sure you got all your stuff lined up because we're in for a treat today. Now, of course, there's a thunderstorm looming over my area, and it's raining like crazy, and it's dark, so I hope we can get this show in. So, without any further ado, let me bring on Sister Marie. Sister Marie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Like I said, I have everything laid out here. I got my chips. I got my my drinks. I got it all. I got it all laid out here, right here.
You might need a fifth of whiskey for this one. Holy cow.
Well, if I was a reprobate, right? But
yeah, you might do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But so we have a great show in store today.
Yeah.
A lot of crazy stuff going on in the world. A lot of crazy stuff in the world. And but that's what you expect to hear when you tune into the End Time News Report, because the End Times are supposed to be wacky and crazy and diabolical and demonic, and you know, those are the End Times.
And here we are.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, like I was telling the saints, it's dark and gloomy here. I was at the church at prayer, and it was thundering and raining over there. And as I was driving, it kept following me in my direction. So that's where we're at, and we hope we can do this show today without any, without the lights going on. Because if the lights go on, then the internet goes off, and the phone goes off, and everything goes off.
Right.
And then I won't be entertained. So I'm looking forward to today's show. Set it up for us.
Well, we'll see. Okay, well, one of the first things I wanted to talk about, and I'm not sure if you've heard that, you know Bill Johnson from Bethel. That's the lead pastor at Bethel Church.
Right.
His wife passed away from
cancer
on July
13th.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, they don't believe in that, but she did. Well, he's now reopening his healing school.
Oh.
Remember, they shut down because of COVID. You know, during COVID, they were shut. They cowered in the corner and hid, you know, in fear. And so now, after his wife died, he might have had this plan before, but he's opening it. So then we got a combined story here. So now we have the NAR prophet, Lou Engle.
Right.
You remember him, Rockin' Lou?
Sure. Absolutely.
He's the rocker.
Yeah.
He's publicly declared that he received Benny Johnson's mantle to carry on with Communion Revival, because that's what he was known for.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Rockin' Lou. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I can't watch him. I've got to be honest. I had a video or an audio we could have played, but I watched it, and it's like, no, it's nonsense. I'm not going to listen to this. And he starts rocking like that. It drives me crazy. It really does.
Yeah.
I don't know
That's what retards do. They rock back and forth.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. So.
Okay. I would have a question after this, though. Are those NAR people rising up again? Because they think in the future here, in the near future, they're going to have political power again in the White House. Do you think?
Well, look, if Trump wins, I'm sure that Trump will have them back in there because they're useful idiots, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yep.
Listen.
They fit that definition.
Sure, they're useful idiots. Now, you won't be there. I won't be there. People with real obligations will be taking care of their obligations. I mean, if you're at Trump's 24/7 instead of at your church pastoring, you're not a pastor. So obviously the people are going to be rejoicing and they're going to go back to Trump and they're going to lick his boots, and which he likes all of that stuff.
As
all politicians do. You know, he's just a politician.
Right.
And if it's not Trump, then someone else will come down the line that'll be conservative and pro-church and pro-life, and you know, and they'll attach themselves to that person like a parasite, because that's what parasites do, right? I mean, when I had goats and sheep, and I had to constantly deworm them every 6 months, shove a pellet down their throat to get rid of the parasites in their stomach. That's what you have. So what happened was when Biden won, the White House was cleared of parasites.
Right.
I mean, they were just flushed out. So when Trump comes back, if he does, then the parasites will come back in.
Right.
That's all.
Church parasites were cleaned out. I don't know. You know.
Well,
anyway.
You know, there's different kinds of like, for example, there's tapeworms, right? Tapeworms.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
are very long. So Paula White was a tapeworm. Jensen Franklin,
she still is.
A tapeworm, right?
Right.
So where's Paula White now? She's in the septic tank.
She just did the World Christian Leadership Conference with the Reverend Sung Young Moon's wife.
Absolutely.
And that was August 11th through the 15th. That's what she's been up to.
Yeah. Listen, she's a parasite.
Yes.
She's going to attach herself to whatever she can because she needs more plastic surgery.
Yeah.
And
she's due.
Now, there's an easy and cheap way to do it. When I go to Walmart and I buy groceries, Walmart now charges me 5 cents for a paper bag, brown paper bag. Well, I would encourage Paula to go to Walmart, spend 5 cents, get a brown paper bag, put it over her head. 5 cents is cheaper. Right? 5 cents is cheaper than permitting us and forcing us to watch that mug of hers. And at the same time, you know, she doesn't have to spend the tens of thousands of dollars to have her face stretched. So these people are just parasites, you know, they're just it is what it is.
Or she can be the unknown false prophet. The unknown heretic with the bag.
But you can tell who she is because she's bow-legged. And then once she starts talking, you'll know who it is. As soon as she starts pacing back and forth, commanding the angels to come from Africa, you'll know who it is.
Bethel, this building... This campus they're building, $96 million spending on this. $96 million. Think about it. This healing campus. And they're including, get this, prophetic labs. We talked about that before.
Sure.
You've got to ask. You must ask. What for? Prophetic labs. Have you ever heard of that?
That's crazy. Listen, the Antichrist has to show up, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got to show up. He's the political arm of Satan's agenda, Antichrist. Then the false prophet is the religious arm of Satan's agenda. Is Bethel going to raise the $96 million? You better believe it. Satan will give it to them. Why? Because they're going to turn out more loons there They're going to be turning out prophets after prophets after prophets that are just going to go throughout the land and prophesy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
See, it's part of the great falling away. God will give them over to grand delusion, to great delusion, right? It's just part.
That's correct.
So yeah, they're gonna turn out all these prophets. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Sure.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So you know, the more we see, the more we know that we're in the last times. And think about this. You want to open up a dentist shop, and you, as the dentist, had to bury your wife, and your wife had one tooth. Right?
That's about it.
I mean, so.
That's about it.
Right. So you want to open up healing centers, but yet your wife wasn't healed.
Right.
You see how these people are lunatics, but
yeah,
they have suckers
is what they are.
Right. They have suckers that go there all the time. Dum-dum.
Yeah. After all these years, they've preached, you know, that if you weren't healed, you lacked faith.
Right.
Now, but when they go, it's totally different. It's like, okay,
sure.
They wanted to go home. And that's just like Kenneth Copeland. He's now revealing that he's had a pacemaker for years.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
sure.
You know, it's getting, he's on the, you know, he's like one foot in the grave at this point, you would think, almost.
Sure.
So now he's revealing he's had a pacemaker.
Yeah.
And also, Gloria,
and he messed up.
She couldn't have, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Gloria couldn't what?
She couldn't attend the Southwest Believers Convention because she was dealing with a traumatic brain injury, which from a car accident that she received. She's been suffering from it for 50
mm-hmm.
years.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't telling
mm-hmm.
you these things.
Right. Well, then, you know, so Kenneth had a pacemaker. Well, he should have had
mm-hmm.
installed a brain maker because he's brainless.
Yes, exactly.
And so, again, these people, look, they're all liars.
Yeah.
They're liars.
You got to ask, though, why are they revealing this now? You know, just all of a sudden. Because, you know, for over 50 years, he's done nothing somewhere around there, but... You know, say if you were healed or you were not healed, then, you know, you didn't have faith. It was your fault. What? And then they turn around and all of a sudden this is, you know, these things are being revealed. It's kind of amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just, again, it just shows that when they say I'm a little God, they're not a little God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because God doesn't die. God doesn't
die. That's right.
So they're falling apart,
right.
And they're delusional, and we're
mm-hmm.
going to leave it at that because, you know, what can you do with liars, right?
Yeah.
Paul says they are deceived and being deceived.
Mm-hmm.
That's who these
people are. Yep.
Right?
That's right.
So
that's right.
It is what it is.
It's just it's interesting. Okay, we're going to audio one now. This is an article that says, battle rages over migrants bused from Texas to D.C. and New York City. Now they
mm-hmm.
want, they're complaining now because they don't have federal funding to help, but yet they took it upon themselves. So the Texas taxpayers are relieved, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're not paying taxes now for these people that are now shipped to D.C. and New York City. So now
right,
it's your
right,
problem.
Right. Sure.
So if you want to play the audio, it's only 3 minutes and 21 seconds.
All right.
Yeah.
Here it is.
We'll talk then.
The governor of Texas has been busing migrants hundreds of miles away to cities along the East Coast. Now the leaders of Washington, D.C. and New York City are asking for federal help dealing with this influx. News Asia correspondent Marky Martin is live in Dallas. So, Marky, what's the latest on this cross-country bus battle. Hey, Nicole, yeah, the mercury is rising. And for months now, Texas has been busing these migrants who are seeking asylum all the way out to D.C. And now, as of this week, it's New York as well. And as you just mentioned, now both of these sanctuary cities are calling for help from the federal government for resources to prevent what they're calling a prolonged humanitarian crisis.
In a Thursday letter to the Pentagon, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser asking the Secretary of Defense to deploy the D.C. National Guard. The request, she writes, is to help prevent a prolonged humanitarian crisis in our nation's capital, resulting from the daily arrival of migrants in need of assistance. Bowser has been asking for federal assistance since July.
And when we have a growing humanitarian crisis that we expect, that the federal government expects is going to only worsen, I have got to deploy the resources that I need.
Her renewed calls come the same week as New York City Mayor Eric Adams, who's asking for similar government backup after just 1 week of receiving migrant buses from Texas.
Listen, New York is a sanctuary city. Mayor Adams said that they welcome in illegal immigrants. And now once they have to deal with the reality of it, they're suddenly fluxed, and they cannot handle it.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott writing an op-ed for FoxNews.com this week, doubling down on his bus route, telling the mayors to call on President Biden to stop dismissing the crisis and preserve national security.
It is not in the jurisdiction of the governor of any state to enforce border policies.
Kate Lincoln Goldfinch is an immigration attorney in Austin. While she says busing the migrants out of state is legal, she says Governor Abbott's actions are troubling and disruptive to the system as a whole, and he's using taxpayer dollars to do it.
These are migrants who are free to be in the United States. They have been released, and they decide where they like to go. Border Patrol does not hand over detained migrants to the governor of Texas. That's not how it works. These are migrants who say, sure, I'll get on a bus and go to D.C. I was headed there anyway.
And Nicole, just to reiterate what that immigration attorney was saying, these are asylum seekers who are permitted to be here in the United States by CBP until their case gets heard. Sometimes that takes years. And back to Mayor Bowser's request, she is asking for a 90-day deployment by the D.C. National Guard, also asking those soldiers to build migrant refuge centers for the migrants to stay in. And to date, Governor Abbott has bused about 7,000 migrants to D.C. and New York. Nicole.
All right, Marky Martin live in Texas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yep.
He's spreading the love. You want to love these people? Let's spread the love.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, boy. Terrible. Yep. Well, you know, I found it interesting the names they used in here. I just counted it as they were going. They call them migrants, right? And I looked
right.
that up just to get a definition because we had three different names being used for these people in here. One was migrant. In fact, it was nine times I counted. That's a person who moves from one place to another, especially in order to find work or better living conditions, as in, you know, just a migrant. You know, or a migrate. So if you think of an animal who migrates or birds who migrate and stuff, that's the idea there. Okay? Then we have the other word used was illegal alien. That was only used once, right? That's a foreign national who is living without authorization in the country of which they are not a citizen. And there's exceptions to this, and that's legal aliens. So that term was only used once. Did you hear that, what I just
yep.
said about the illegal?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because my
yep.
phone was cutting there.
No,
okay.
I heard you.
And then
I heard everything
the third
said.
Term, the third term was used four times as asylum seeker, and that's a person who's left their country as a political refugee or their home country and is seeking asylum in another country. Now, what is the correct? They used all three words there. What is the correct term for these people? Two, illegal. They came in here illegally. So
right.
Number one doesn't fit, migrant, you know, because mm-hmm. they just, okay, they came across the border, they want to stay, and they're being bused to wherever they want to go. Asylum seeker, it's not a political thing. Although there's countries that are pretty bad, you know. So they've used three different terms here, which mean three totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
Illegal aliens. They're illegal immigrants, you know, coming across
the border.
They're
lawbreakers. How about lawbreakers?
Yes, that's four.
Right?
That goes with two.
If I went into Australia, where would you think I would land? In prison.
Jail. Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
If I went to Trinidad Tobago and I entered in without my passport, where do you think they would throw me? In prison.
Jail. Yep.
Right? Any other country you go to. You have no
passport.
Try
going into England without a passport.
Sure.
And just say you're staying. Just cross over.
Right.
How do they, you know, cross over. I suppose if you come from France and take a ship over and land on the dock and you're from another country, you can do that because that's happened. But go through legally. They're making it impossible, you know, I mean, because they're bringing in the illegals. And the legal people, you know, are going through all the interrogation. You know, they're the ones that have to go in and have their passport, you know, all their documentation and everything when they leave a country and go into another, and yet they're allowing people just to walk in if
right.
you're from some other country. I mean,
hey,
they were coming
in
boats in France.
Yeah, the times I went to India, South Africa, the Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
I remember I had to go get a visa.
Yes.
I had to go to their embassies, submit my passport with my plane ticket showing when I was going in and when I was coming out.
Correct.
I had to take my passport, my plane ticket. I also had to take
mm-hmm.
the amount of money to pay for the visa. Visas weren't free. You had to pay
exactly.
to go into those countries.
Yeah.
Right? And they would say, okay, come back 4 hours from now to pick up your visa.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't go somewhere, you know, I'm American, I want to travel. No.
Right.
No.
Someone comes into the United States and they are legally in the United States, in order to keep that legal status, they have to pay a lot of money. You know, every so many years, they have to go through a lot of procedure, you know,
right.
every 4 years and pay money. These
mm-hmm.
people just walk in, you never hear from them again.
Sure.
You know?
And, the lady said, they're given a court date, and that could take years. No kidding,
yeah.
Sherlock.
Right.
And they don't appear to these court cases. They don't appear.
Right.
And they get medical.
In the country.
They get food
yep.
stamps. They get rental assistance. They get everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. And other countries don't do that.
No.
If you were to go to England and you were to go over there and you went in there legally and you were a citizen from another country because you were either married to someone British or, you know, a different status, any kind of status, you have to show that you can provide for yourself or that
mm-hmm.
someone can provide for you.
Right.
You know, that's part of it. So
sure.
they don't have to do any of that. And I think it's a shame. You know, I don't mind anybody coming to any country legally. But doing it illegally is illegal. It was, you know.
Well,
that's why they call it that.
What would happen if Governor Abbott was to say to some Mexicans or some people, who came over illegally. Hey, I'm going to bus you right in front of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bus you right in front of the White House. You get off
right
there and just, you know, build a sanctuary city right there on the lawn of 1600
mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania. What do you think would happen? Would Biden be happy? No.
No.
Get these people off the lawn. Get these, you know.
Try that at the Vatican, too.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
Same thing.
Sure.
They'd be upset. So,
oh, they
you
love
know,
the
thing, one of the, go ahead.
No, they love the sorry migrants. They love the
oh,
migrants.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. Sure. But the thing is that what was really confusing, what people wouldn't notice, is there were three different, totally different meaning, three terms used in one three-minute news story. So
sure.
That would be very confusing for people who don't understand that these are three different meanings. And
right.
if you listen to it, you don't realize. But if you listen closely, it's like, wait a minute. So what they're doing is they're calling a migrant, maybe an alien, illegal alien, or an asylum seeker, all the same thing. It's totally different. And so I noticed an article that stated the ERLC joins Soros-funded organization to call on Congress to allow Islamic nationalists permanent residency status here in the United States. So that on top of this going on, Soros is funding, you know, the ERLC. Evangelicals are joining Soros-funded organization to get Islamic nationalists over here and give them permanent residency for nothing.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Sure, but that's, again, that's the coexist movement. There's a political coexist movement. There's a religious coexist movement.
That's right. That's right. We can just narrow this down to what's going on.
Sure.
You know, you can just
sure.
see it. I mean, you know, it's coming into play. So, well, that's that story. I found that interesting because that involved your state and other states within the United States. You know, it's I found it interesting because of the terms they were using and how they're all different. What is going on here? You know, letting illegals just, you know, hey, giving them bus rides. And I found it interesting that, you know, they're now expanding that to Islamic nationalists, you know. They want them to be here permanently. You know,
right.
it's just like, okay, we need to take care of the people within the United States. That's what we need to do. But
sure.
That's why they're coming here, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, I'm not against any of that. I'm not against anyone coming anywhere legally. But if I have to go somewhere legally, somebody else has to go somewhere legally. That's only fair.
Sure.
It's just fair.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right. That's my gripe on that. Okay. I'm noticing something in the news, and I think we're coming to an end of denominational churches. I'm just going to put that out there because I believe it. And I'm going to give you headlines, and I have several headlines, but I'm only going to read this one. Historic Baptist Church in Kentucky hires homosexual youth pastor as co-pastor. That's Crescent Hill Baptist Church in Louisville. You know, and conservative Baptists are leaving the SBC in droves. You know, they're just getting out of there. So I'm watching this, and we have the same kind of story going on with every denomination that you can think of. Another headline, the Episcopal denomination passes resolution to affirm same-sex surgeries in children of any age. This is the denominational. That's sickening. But
sickening,
that's
yep.
what these denominational churches are turning into. And, of course, the conservative people within those denominations are getting out. They're going independent.
Right.
So I think from all the headlines I'm seeing, I think we're seeing an end to the denominational churches. I just see that the conservative or people with morals, they're just going to go independent. That's, you know, away from a denomination. We'll see, but that's what I believe. And I can tell you why. So I think the question always is, what appears to be the bottom line for these different denominations? What is their bottom line? They put up with a lot. You know, they've had kinds of problems going on since they were infiltrated. We know that. They've had one problem right after another ever since they've been infiltrated. So we have to say, what's the bottom line? And I think it's the abuse of children and the queer agenda. That's what I believe the bottom line is, because they're, you know, leaving in droves. Now, what do you think?
Yeah, well,
just a question before I go on.
Every denomination has splintered at some point or another. There are some diehards that stay on, and then there are some people that move on. Different people move on. For example, if you're part of a denomination and you figured it out that I can incorporate a church and me and my wife can turn that church into our millionaire business, then you're leaving the denomination. You're leaving the denomination because you already figured out what they've been doing, right? Other people leave because of doctrinal purity. There's different people are leaving for different reasons. There's going to be some diehards.
I would say the conservative are more doctrinal purity, wouldn't you? Would be more like the Reformed and things like that, you know, the conservative. They would leave because of doctrinal purity. That would be, you know, the heretics would leave. I think the heretical people would leave if they see that they can make $1 million going off on their own.
Sure. So, yeah, the heyday of the denomination is over. That said, there are people who are still part of the denomination, and they're going to stay that way until they die. And when they die, then the denomination in great part will die off. The denominational system is already dying down.
Yeah.
Nobody's joining denominations. Nobody. Nobody's rushing to say, I want to join. No. Either people are leaving or people are dying. And as they leave or they die, the denomination shrinks. It shrinks.
Well, I think they need to be more in love with Jesus than the denomination, to be honest. you know? That's my thought. I mean...
Yep. And denominations were good.
They
served their purpose. And, but you know.
Yeah, one time it did. I can see that. I can see how the different groups went off, you know. And they became different denominations, you know. But right now I think they're leaving because of this theory. I think that this is – what I'm talking about is maybe the bottom line. Because I'm telling you, bro, this is going in droves. It's almost every article I open or news story is someone else leaving a denomination. And I think the bottom line is the queer theory. So with that said, we're going to listen to an audio that defines queer theory and queer Marxism. And this is just a quick 15-minute overview to explain, you know, what we're seeing in our churches and in the world around us and why. In short, queer theory is being in, this is what it is, direct opposition to what is normal. That is queer theory in a nutshell. You know?
Yep.
So what we know as normal, it's in direct opposition. That's what queer theory is. And I'll let James, we're going to use James Lindsay here from New Discourses. I'm going to let him explain this. And like I said, it's 15 minutes. Now, he's not a Christian, but he's an expert on this subject. Although, I got to admit, he hangs around with Christians, a lot of them. And I think it's getting harder for him to deny Christianity, you know, because he's, every time he, I'm sure, one of his friends that are Christian say to him, you know, that's in the Bible, you know, so
right.
We'll see. But he's really an expert in this area, especially Marxism. He's another expert in it. So we'll listen to that, and it's 15 minutes long. If you want to play that, we'll see what.
Here
it's
is.
Just a 15 minute. It explains everything.
Here it is.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. This is James Lindsay, and you are listening to New Discourses Bullets. I give in these a short bullet point style summary of a single topic that I think you need to understand. I try to keep it tight. And so we're going to dive right in yet again and talk about queer theory. What is queer theory? I'm going to give maybe a little bit of a non-standard presentation, as I tend to do, but I want you to understand kind of straightforwardly what it is. Queer theory, I think, should be called queer Marxism. It is a Marxist theory of the normal. But we'll come back to that. It is, in fact, a theory that was born out of sex-positive radical feminism combined with postmodern and post-structural analyses of categories and ideas and meaning in the 1980s going into the 1990s. The first paper in queer theory is considered to be Gail Rubin's Thinking Sex from 1984 on the New Discourses podcast. I did a 3-podcast series reading through the entirety of that paper, so you can go check that out. Look her up, G-A-Y-L-E Rubin, R-U-B-I-N, Gail Rubin. And so you can check that out, Thinking Sex, 1984. The term queer theory got applied to this emerging new feminist discourse or new feminist analysis, if we want to call it that, in either 91 or 93 by Teresa De Laurentiis. I'd have to look up which year it was. But it was an emerging field through the middle part of the 1980s going into the early part of the 1990s. What it has to be understood as, no other way to put it, as it is a theory that exists in order to oppose the normal. Anything being normal, anything being considered normal. It, in fact, wages war on the normal, and it centers that war through identity politics, through defining what you would call an oppositional identity. In the words of David Halperin, a leading queer theorist, as a matter of fact, one of the most influential, in a book he wrote in 1995 called Saint Foucault, referring to Michel Foucault and the influence of his work, he describes this in terms of homosexuality, but he brings a loop around to the word queer to describe what he means. And what he says is that queer is an identity without an essence. In other words, it's an identity that resists an essence. It is an identity that is oppositional to any stable identity. In other words, it is an identity that is at war with the normal. Here's what Halperin writes in Saint Foucault in 1995. He says, in order to reverse the discourses of contemporary homophobia, it is not enough to attempt simply to reclaim and transvalue homosexuality. The most radical reversal of homophobic discourses consists not in asserting with the Gay Liberation Front of 1968 that gay is good, on analogy with black is beautiful, but in assuming and empowering a marginal positionality. Not in rehabilitating an already demarcated, if devalued, identity, but in taking advantage of the purely oppositional location homosexuality has been made to occupy by the logic of the supplement and by the phantasmic character of homophobic discourse. So what is he saying? He says we're going to occupy the position, he's for homosexuality, but it ends in queer. We're going to occupy the position of queerness as a wholly oppositional, marginal positionality and empower it as such, as if we're going to empower it as that which opposes. That's what he says. by taking advantage, he says, of a purely oppositional location. And then it's not their fault that homosexuality has been made to occupy. And they're going to do so by the logic of the supplement. In other words, heterosexual and homosexual are supplementary ideas. You can't understand one without the other. That's a central claim in queer theory that I don't know if it's even true. The homosexual, in scare quotes, he says, quote, the homosexual, constituted by that discourse is, as we have seen, an impossibly contradictory creature, not a natural reality, but a phantasmic projection. See, you're not born that way. You're, when you're politically queer or the homosexual, you are not a natural reality, but a phantasmic projection, an incoherent construction that functions to stabilize and to consolidate the cultural meaning of heterosexuality by encapsulating everything that is other than or different from it. So the homosexual is everything not heterosexual. And so he's claiming that the homosexual or the queer, it's always the queer, this is what queer theory is all about, is a incoherent construction that functions to stabilize and consolidate the cultural meaning of its opposite, heterosexuality. And it does that. It encapsulates and stabilizes heterosexuality by being everything else. Queer is everything that is other or different from heterosexuality. The homosexual, he says, is defined by negation and opposition as everything the heterosexual is not. In other words, he's saying, what is homosexual or what is queer? Not heterosexual. Everything not heterosexual. In short, quote, the homosexual is an identity without an essence. So that's where that famous line comes from. To shift the position of the quote, homosexual from that of object to subject, hey, look, it's a Marxist theory, is therefore to make available to lesbians and gay men a new kind of sexual identity, one characterized by its lack of clear definitional content. The homosexual subject can now claim an identity without an essence. To do so is to reverse the logic of the supplement and to make use of the vacancy left by the evacuation of the contradictory and incoherent definitional content of, quote, the homosexual, in order to take up instead a position that is and always had been defined wholly relationally by its distance to and difference from the normative. In other words, it's that which is thrown out of what is considered normative. It is in opposition to the normal. Homosexual identity can now be constituted not substantively, but oppositionally, not by what it is, but by where it is and how it operates. In other words, outside of the normal. Those who knowingly occupy, and this is the key for queer politics and queer theory, or aka queer Marxism, those who knowingly occupy such a marginal location, who assume a de-essentialized identity that is purely positional, meaning excluded from normal, that is purely positional in character, are properly speaking not gay, but, and in italics, queer. That's what queer theory is. It is the absolute opposition to, rejection of, and Marxist critique of by the existence of something outside of it, and positionally opposition to it, in opposition to it, the normal. So this is a neo-Marxist theory of normalcy. You have people who have given themselves the privilege of designating themselves normal. They've created a kind of cultural property called normalcy that gives them certain benefits and privileges in society, and they exclude the abnormals or the queer, and then when it comes down to sexuality, everybody who's not heterosexual. When it comes to gender, everybody who is outside of what they have made up and termed cisgender. In other words, so your non-binaries, your gender fluid, your gender queer, your trans, all outside, those are all queer. So there's a war, a stratification of society between people who designated themselves normal and the people they designate as abnormal or queer or freaks or perverts, and that's upheld by cis heteronormativity and norms and expectations or normativity around the idea of sex, gender, sexuality, also health status, mental health status included. In other words, there is a theory that society was structured by people who gave themselves access to being normal. They declared themselves normal, said we get to be normal, and nobody else is normal, and they created a structure of how society operates, an operating principle for society that structures the privileged versus the oppressed in that circumstance. Well, if technically a privilege is some of them, and they maintain their privilege, they have to oppress everybody else in an act of often not even intentional, but sometimes intentional oppression of all things not normal, so as to exclude and marginalize them, and by making them queer. So queer theory exists to seize the meaning of the word queer, put positive identification in it, in the act of opposing the normal itself. What makes queer a positive is that it challenges anything being normal. It does its activism by what it calls queering, which is done by complicating something for another. In other words, what is a woman? We don't know what a woman is because sometimes men are women now under trans ideology. Therefore, the concept of woman is complicated, and it takes a queer theorist to be able to tell when somebody is truly a woman, whether they happen to be biologically male or female. What this does, what queering or complicating does as the form of challenging the hierarchy of normalcy that queer theory exists to challenge, is it erases the meaning of the categories, whether it's man and woman, whether it's gay and straight, etc., by opposing any potential conceptual solidity of them. This fits in a broader picture. It's not just Marxist, but neo-Marxist, of what neo-Marxism is all about, because neo-Marxism is, in general, a war against stability. That's what the neo-Marxists realized in the 60s. Economic stability prevented the working class from coming together and having a revolution. So since there's no revolution coming from stable people, when we shift into identity politics, into the excluded minorities of race, sex, gender, sexuality, and so on, the outsiders and whatever that Herbert Marcuse was talking about in the 60s as the shift to a new proletariat, we're now going to wage against stability in terms of everything else, in terms of identity. So you're going to use sex and gender and sexuality and health statuses, including mental health status, as tools to break down stability. That's the point of a critical theory, is to make sure the people infected by it are not stable. In other words, that they're mentally ill. This is what Herbert Marcuse means in an essay on liberation from 1969 by having the new idea sink down into the level of the very biology in the first chapter, which he titles Biological Foundation for Socialism. So queer theory is a war on individual, personal, psychological, social, and familial stability to create queer activists who are opposed to any such stability, I would say on principle, but it's not even quite on principle. It's more like by negative definition. Anything that might give them personal or individual or psychological or social or familial stability, including their faith, access to their family, the history of their culture, knowing who they are, having a stable sense of person, all of that has to be obliterated and challenged and constantly complicated or queered by queer theory. And that's what queer theory exists to do. That's what queer theory is. It is a neo-Marxist or Marxist theory against normalcy as a form of cultural property that, like Karl Marx said in the Communist Manifesto about private property, must be abolished. And it abolishes it through conceptually watering down categories so that they lose their meaning. They lose any conceptual solidity. You can't understand what they actually are anymore. So that we can't answer questions like what is a woman, because some men are women. We can't answer a question like what is straight, because sometimes maybe straight people have sex with somebody of the same sex, but they still consider themselves straight. And so it requires a queer theorist as a power broker to step in and tell you when is somebody's personal claim about being a man or a woman or straight or gay or whatever authentic and in line with the theory that opposes the normal as a fundamental program. Its goal then is to introduce queer ideas and queer living, not LGBT identities, not stable ones, certainly. It opposes stable identities, even of lesbians and gays and bisexuals, which it calls establishing homonormativity, which it is against. It is against ideas like marriage equality, which normalize homosexuality. It is against ideas like passing, or straight passing, or whatever, because they normalize homosexuality. It allows homosexuals to be normal people as opposed to queer activists who are actively tearing down not just categories by which they might understand themselves in the world, but also themselves psychologically, socially, familially, and anything that might give them stability in society. That's an identity without an essence. That's an identity of pure opposition. I don't mean to sound religious in one of these things describing this, but I think that's literally the objective of Satan in the biblical Christian perspective. And so when I have said in the past that queer theory opens the gates to hell, I quite literally mean that as far as I can, given where I sit. So now you know what queer theory is. It's a disaster. It's a catastrophe. It's far more dangerous than critical race theory. Far more dangerous than critical race theory. It's more dangerous even than classical Marxism. It's causing the rampant psychological and physical mutilation of our mental and emotional mutilation of children in large numbers in our society who are being sucked into or groomed into this ideology by people who claim that it's about increasing their empathy for LGBT people, but indeed are selling it as a means to get them to experiment with and eventually live queerly in a cult of gender, sex, sexuality, and health and mental health status identities that are outside of the stable, outside of the normal. And it does so because those people become perfect activists who tear down the existing society so that there can be room for a new one where somebody else, namely somebody who's in charge of these theories, gets to have the power and be in charge.
Poor guy. He had to read all that crap.
Yes.
And it's,
that's his expertise, too, in Marxism and the different theories.
Yeah, yeah.
It's terrible.
Romans 1:32 says this. These
mm-hmm.
people, knowing the judgment of God,
yep.
that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but
mm-hmm.
they have pleasure in them that do them. So all of these
yep.
queers know they're fighting God.
Yes.
And because
absolutely.
They're fighting God and what God has set up, they are going to suffer. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Their goal is to fight God.
Yep.
That's their
goal. That's it.
So,
you know,
it's,
you know what they do is quite simply, too, they just throw their gray area in there in everything, right? They put in the gray area. You know, they oppose normal. They oppose what God created. You know, we know that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. This agenda is the attempted destruction of everything that God created, you know. And this one affects our children, and that's what drives me crazy.
Right.
Do you remember another theory in this that makes sense now? When we did the audio of whiteness, the Marxist, you know, audio about Marxism and whiteness,
right.
what was
right.
that? Whiteness was defined as anything that is not black. Do you see this is the same kind of concept here? So it
sure.
basically it opposes everything, you know, that we consider or that God calls normal. It's literally
right.
good
right.
versus evil.
Sure.
You know, that's what we're dealing with here with this agenda. Because in another thing he said that I had a thought about, he said, you know, in order to understand who you are, they're setting it up. So they're setting up the queer agenda. So you have to consult someone within that agenda, a queer, to find out if this person is a woman, if this person is a man. You see what I'm saying? Or if they're trans or, you know, all the different pronouns and stuff, you have to consult them
right.
to find out this is what the agenda is trying to do because they become the
mm-hmm.
expert. Now think
sure.
about this.
Sure.
What is the Antichrist? Because he doesn't really, according to the Bible, he doesn't really care about women. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't have a need for a woman. Or doesn't, you know, he's not drawn to women. He doesn't. So are we looking at somebody that could be in this agenda stepping up, especially what they plan to do? Do you see what I'm
well,
saying? And I just thought of that when he was talking now. I said, wait a minute, if we have to consult or the leader, because this agenda wants to take over the world, so if it's going to be a queer agenda, it's going to have a queer leader, you know what I mean? He's not fond of women. The Antichrist either is
yeah.
Would it come out of this agenda? You see what I'm saying? Just
yeah,
a thought.
I would say that the Antichrist is depraved. For example, think about how Hitler was depraved in that he wanted to gas the Jews. That's depravity.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking women, men, children, young people, you're putting them in gas chambers, and what are you doing? You're gassing them, right? That's depravity.
Yes. Yeah.
At the same
yes.
time, if I'm a man and I have a beard and a mustache and I want to kiss a person with a beard and a mustache, that's depravity.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? So depravity
yes.
will manifest itself. So when I look at the Antichrist and what the Bible calls him, that he's a composite
mm-hmm.
beast. He's a beast.
Yes. Yes.
Right? And
yep.
so a beast will do whatever. And
mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't put it past him if he's depraved in every area of his life.
Yeah, he is the D and depraved, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I wouldn't. I wouldn't, you know, that he would have intimacy with animals. I wouldn't put it past him. That
yeah,
he would have
exactly.
intimacy with men. I wouldn't pass. You know.
Anything that destroys too. You know
sure.
what God has made, and you know, good.
Yeah.
Anything that's opposed to good, that's what he'll be.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean he's a depraved individual. So,
and so many people will follow. I mean, you know, you think about it.
Sure.
I mean, that just occurred to me when I was listening to it this time, you know, because I was more into listening to how the agenda, you know, it just opposes, basically, it just opposes normal. And what have we been saying? They keep calling it the new normal. Well, the new normal is depraved, you know, honestly. And it's everything we think is right. They're turning it. The good versus evil. That's what we're seeing.
Right, right.
You
right.
know, we're seeing, you know.
It, you know,
I don't know.
Again.
Is it going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah? Could
well
be.
Yeah, it's already Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
What part of the planet can you not go to where it's not Sodom and Gomorrah already?
Right.
Because even in Iran, where they kill sodomites, they're still sodomites.
Mm-hmm.
They're just
yes,
doing
exactly.
it quietly. Right?
Remember
because,
when he came over and said, oh, we don't have that in our country. He came over to a New York restaurant. What's his name? From Iran. And he came over and they interviewed and they said, "What? You know, how do you feel? Is it illegal in your country?" He said, "We don't have any
right
in our country." Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So...
That guy might even be queer.
Yeah, they'll never tell
right?
you. They'll never tell
sure.
you. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, wasn't, that's two different cities, though, because wasn't Sodom a Canaanite city and isn't Gomorrah in the Jordan Valley? Weren't they two separate?
They're all connected. They're all, the five cities of the plain were all in league. They were all connected.
Right.
So... you know, they were
mm-hmm.
all queer. They all had queer theory. And
right.
that's why they were opposed by God, because they were opposing. They were opposing. See, what people don't realize is you pick a fight with God, you're not getting up off the floor.
Right.
You know, so
right.
that's it. You know, you're done. You,
yeah.
you pick a fight with God and you're done. You're done.
Yeah.
So,
well, in Ezekiel, it talks about pride, you know, fullness of food, their prosperity,
sure.
They were at ease, you know, and their daughters, which, you know, included the whole area that you're talking about. And one of the objections to God that they didn't, you know, strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. But when you get to Gomorrah, you know, that was very grievous.
Right.
You know, heinous sin.
Sure, sure, sure.
You see, so they had it all. Basically, what
right.
you're saying is right, because it occurred to me that they had it, everything you could think of. If they had pride, okay, they were full of pride. They were just had abundance. You know, they were very prosperous,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they didn't care about the needy. They didn't care about the poor. And then you add on that all the abominations, you know. On the other hand, where you have Gomorrah, where you have all these abominations and everything. So, to me, when you put it together, it's exactly what you said. It was at the height of depravity. You know what I mean? They were just totally
mm-hmm.
depraved.
Yeah. Sure.
So that makes sense if you put them together because there's no, I mean, they committed all the sins you could think of, you know,
right.
between the group. So...
Yeah.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
You know, when you look at it, I mean, if you take them, you think, well, you know, I was thinking about Sodom and you know, pride, really big. Now, was that gay pride? Possibly. You know what I'm saying? But
mm-hmm.
when I took it, you know, started thinking about all the different things that they, sins that they had committed between both Sodom and Gomorrah, there wasn't a lot that they didn't do, you know, that were considered sins, you know.
Right. Yep.
So,
wicked,
so
listen,
it was just an abundance.
Yeah.
Wicked.
It's just
yeah.
Queer theory is pure wickedness. Pure
right.
wickedness. That's it. When the
but,
queers,
you know, you think
listen,
about it, though. Go ahead.
When the queers want to take over, it's the end of the world. When the queers
right.
want to take over,
right.
it's the end of the world. That's all.
Right. Other thing it said, too, that they're haughty and they committed abominations before God. Yet God, now I found this interesting, had said that Sodom had not done what Jerusalem had done and their daughters did. You see?
Mm-hmm.
He went straight after Jerusalem and said, look, you're worse than they are. And yet he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, it's amazing.
Well,
it's amazing.
Yep.
The history of this is incredible, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, really. So anyway, in the New Testament there for Jude, you know, I think Jude 1:4, when you look at that, it said certain people have crept in unnoticed, and we know the scripture, who long ago were designated for this condemnation. And by the way, that's the case for predestination. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny the only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that say to
him? Listen.
That's an ESV,
again,
by the way. That's the ESV on that one.
Yeah. Queers are, you know, queers are it. That's it. You, when a society,
queers are it. That's,
when a society
are
is full
are
of, when the society
yeah.
is full of queers,
mm-hmm.
You
God
know, like for example, let's say in the 1970s, if you said, you know, that guy over there, he's got queer ideas. The
mm-hmm.
word queer was not associated with homosexuals at that time. If you said the guy
right.
has
that
queer ideas. Queer
no,
meant
weird.
Far out in opposition
yeah.
to, right?
Mm-hmm.
His you
mm.
know, like if I said, Jesus and Satan are brothers, you would say, not only is that a Mormon concept, but that's a queer idea.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
It's oppositional, right? And so that's what the queers are today. The drag queen storytelling time, what is that all about? Well, it's oppositional. It's the queers telling little kids, this is it, man. Queer is it.
Mm-hmm.
And no, queer is not it.
I saw an article today where a church is, another story there where a church is telling children to bring $5, give a piece to give to the queer for Sunday service, you know, for a donation.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that just before I was coming on, and I thought, what? I don't know if I have the article right at hand here. But this was just before I came on, or I would have done that story.
Right.
You know, telling them to you know, please offer, you know, make sure that you bring $5 for the drag queen. It's actually drag queen at the church. So I wanted to get the church, but I saw that it just come out. So I haven't had time to look at it, but that's sick. That's sick. But that's where we're at, you know.
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure. It's all about queer now. Everything's queer. Everything's queer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, the queers have taken over.
Well, you know, when it says, when that scripture there, and we've looked at that for a long time, that Jude 1:4, sensuality there, that's sexual pleasure, basically. It's the enjoyment, expression, or pursuit of physical, especially sexual pleasure. And that's what the scripture said there. So we know what was going on. I mean, this is just totally what we're seeing today, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If they take
well,
over.
Again,
I mean, we've always said when two angels come to your door, or when the sodomites or whatever come to your door and they were trying to attack two angels, if they come to your door and want to get your kids, I mean, I said that wrong, but that's what I meant. If they're coming to your door and if you're surrounded by your town coming to the door to get after you or your children, we're in trouble. But that could happen with this. That's what I meant.
Well, they're coming after the kids in school.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
With the gender orientation baloney.
It's crazy.
All of my superheroes are gay now. All of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's it. They're all homos.
Yeah.
You know.
And the kids aren't going to see anything wrong with that. You know, where our kids or my kids, I would have said, now don't laugh, you know?
Right.
And they would have just started laughing behind my back. You know, don't be rude.
Sure.
Don't laugh. You know, I mean, I would say that because I know what they're going to do. I knew what the boys would do.
Sure.
You know, I'd say don't.
Sure.
You know, and of course they're going to do it. You know they're going to do it. So, crazy.
Yeah. I mean, they were telling boys and girls years ago that Ernie and Bert from Sesame Street were two fags.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So, I mean, think about it. Ernie and Bert, they're two homos.
Yep.
Two queers.
Yep.
Amazing. It's gonna break my heart when I find out that Bugs Bunny's gay. It's going to break my heart. but that's coming, too. That's coming. So.
Oh. Hang on. Our generation here, I don't know. We better pray we live a little age.
Sure.
Keep things straight. Oh, man. I don't know. But anyway, it's just simple, and it's an agenda. It's not like they're popping up everywhere. We know what the agenda is now. It's just to oppose everything and to get themselves in positions of power.
Right.
To lead, to control everything. That agenda wants to control everything and everyone. And so that's what we're seeing now. So anyway.
Sure.
Okay, we have audio 3, and this just kind of goes along with the last audio. And the headline is Boston Children's Hospital says transgender kids know their gender as early as from the womb. That's crazy. Now, this is a children's hospital.
Oh.
They're on board with gay theory, or not gay theory now, queer theory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let me see where this
audio
is. That's
number three?
Yeah, no, I have it, but I'm looking to see where I click on for the audio. All right,
I see. It could be down near the bottom.
Yeah, here it is.
So most of the patients that we have in the DEMS clinic actually know their gender, usually around the age of puberty, but a good portion of children do know as early as seemingly from the womb, and they will usually express their gender identity as very young children, some as soon as they can talk. They might say phrases such as, I'm a girl, or I'm a boy, or I'm going to be a woman, or I'm going to be a mom. Kids know very, very early. So in the DEMS clinic, we see a variety of young children all the way down to ages 2 and 3, and usually up to the ages of 9. When they come into the clinic, they'll see one of our psychologists, and we'll be talking to them about their gender. We'll be talking to their family about how to best support that child and how to make sure that that child has the space and support to explore their gender and do well throughout their development. And we'll be answering any parent questions. A lot of parents do have questions, and so we answer those questions. The biggest piece of advice I give parents who are coming through the gender clinic at Boston Children's Hospital is to just be supportive. Sometimes you might not understand. Sometimes you feel like you don't know the terms, or you don't kind of get exactly what the child means when they say that they might be this gender. But the biggest thing you can do is just love your child and support them and just allow them to express themselves. That's the biggest protector as well against negative mental health effects such as depression, suicidality, anxiety that we worry about for our gender diverse kids and young adults. So that support from a parent is one of the best protective factors and one of the best things they can do.
Yeah, it's a scary thing if this lady has kids.
Yes, exactly. You know, I thought of that.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, could she really have kids and think like that?
Sure.
But remember, in the end times, people will be without, you know, natural affection. You know, we know that.
Yeah.
So you naturally love your kids.
Yeah,
a person would naturally
love
their children.
Your kids, but some people don't.
Yeah,
some people
exactly.
don't.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
I don't get
it. So if they're without natural affection, that would tell me that maybe, you know, everything that we know, you know, about natural affection is also being thrown out the window. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, think about it. I mean, you have a mother hen, and she's got 13 little chicks, and here comes a snake trying to take one of the chicks, and there goes mother hen to the baby's defense.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the little chickadee grows up, and see, here's the interesting thing on a farm, right? You have a sow. You have a female pig. And she starts having babies, and you have 8 little piglets. And so you look at the back of the, as soon as the little piglet's born, you look at the back and you say, okay, this is boy, this is girl. So people come over and they say to you, hey, Mr. Farmer, your sow gave birth. Yeah. How many did you get? I got 8. How many boys, how many girls, how many males, how many females? Well, I got 4 males and 4 females. Now, nobody has to tell the little pigs, what's your gender? Are you transitioning?
Yeah.
No.
Never happened
in the... The little pigs know what they are.
Yeah.
You can see it. The same is true with rabbits. Right, you the sex of a rabbit, the sex of a chicken, the sex of a rooster, and they all act in character. All of these creatures, you can tell immediately what's what, as soon as they hatch,
right?
As soon as they're born, you can tell what's what, right?
Yeah.
Now, and not only do you know what they are, they know what they are.
Right.
They know. And they never change. They never say, I need to see a psychologist because I don't know what I am. No.
The animals.
There are no psychologists. There are no psychologists in the animal kingdom. The horse doesn't need to have an appointment with a psychiatrist and get some Valium or get, you know, I need a safe zone. Can you put a little safe zone for me here on this paddock? Because, hey, I feel all this pressure. No.
Oh, jeez.
No, it's only man.
Wow.
It's only dopey man with his queer ideas. With his queer ideas. And if you listen to this lady, let me play this again. I want to play this again. This is how insane this is. Okay, this is just insanity. Here she is with her librarian glasses on. She you know, it looks, she looks like she belongs in a school. Here she is.
So most of the patients that we have in the GEMS clinic actually know their gender, usually around the age of puberty, but a good portion of children do know as early as seemingly from the womb, and they will usually express their gender identity as very young children. Some, as soon as they can talk, they might say phrases such as, I'm a girl, or I'm a boy, or I'm going to be a woman, or I'm going to be a mom. Kids know very, very early. So in the GEMS clinic, we see a variety of young children all the way down to ages 2 and 3, and usually up to the ages of 9. When they come into the clinic, they'll see one of our psychologists, and we'll be talking to them about their gender. We'll be talking to their family about how to best support that child and how to make sure that that child has the space and support to explore their gender and do well throughout their development. And we'll be answering any parent questions. A lot of parents do have questions, and so we answer those questions. The biggest piece of advice I give parents who are coming through the gender clinic at Boston Children's Hospital is to just be supportive. Sometimes you might not understand. Sometimes you feel like you don't know the terms or you don't kind of get exactly what the child means when they say that they might be this gender. But the biggest thing you can do is just love your child and support them and just allow them to express themselves. That's the biggest protector as well against negative mental health effects such as depression, suicidality, anxiety that we worry about for our gender diverse kids and young adults. So that support from a parent is one of the best protective factors.
I don't have any pigs trying to commit suicide. I don't have any confused piglets. I don't have any confused rabbits. You put a female rabbit in a male rabbit's cage, and they're not confused. They are not confused.
Right.
I have not seen an animal yet in all my years on a farm. I have not seen an animal yet. I have not seen a bull coming in to be milked. I haven't seen one bull saying, I'm a woman. I'm a queer. Can you milk me?" No, it never has a bull come in for milking. Never.
Wow.
This is asinine.
This lady has
a doctorate. Yeah, she has a doctorate in psychology. She's a moron with a capital M. Moron.
Isn't it crazy? I'm telling
you. And this is the problem. This is the problem. We've had people move off. You know, years and years and years ago, everybody lived in the country. Few people lived in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody lives in the city. And the people who live in the city are confused because if they went to the country, the pig would tell them if he's male or female, the pig.
Even fixed animals know better. I mean,
sure.
My male dog is fixed, but he still acts like a male. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? I mean, he
Absolutely.
Still has the behavior of a male dog even after they fixed him.
Right, and they
tried, and on him
they tried to do a Caitlyn Jenner, and he said, "I'm not Caitlyn Jenner.
Nails. Yeah.
Exactly.
He's still
and little
tough.
Chico, little Puerto Rican Chico, he's not letting anybody touch him. Mm-mm. No.
He's,
he's
a bully.
Crazy.
He's a bully.
Man,
that story I was telling you.
Right.
Alberta Church encourages children to bring $5 bills to tip drag queens during Sunday morning drag performance.
To tip. Oh, okay. So I guess what they're doing is they're watching pole dancers.
Yeah, it's a Sunday morning drag performance. Yeah. Oh, geez. It says, remember, here's a note. Remember that queens love tips. So bring some fives with you as well as any food donations for the food bank. Hope to see you there.
Oh, you'll see me there. Yeah, sure.
And then they'll take the food donation home.
Please.
Yep. I can't with these people. I'm sorry. I can't.
Sure.
You know, I don't mind. Somebody can choose what they want to be. That's fine. But just don't try to make me and my house choose. You know, decide that they have to be different. Leave me alone.
Look at all the animals in nature. In the springtime, I'm amazed. Because you see the birds come back and you see two birds working together. You see the male bird and the female bird, and they're starting to build their nest. And I'm sitting here in the window, mm-hmm. and I can see them. They go to the ground. They pick up a little twig. They fly up back into the tree. They put it and they fly back down. And this is a pair. They're both working together. One is the male. One is the female. There's no two males building a nest. There's no two females building a nest.
Yes.
The insanity.
Go out to Yellowstone during rut season and watch the males fighting over the females.
Right.
They fight
Absolutely.
To the death
Absolutely.
Over who's going to be in charge of that herd. The males
Absolutely.
Will go to the death.
Absolutely.
You know,
so this is crazy.
This is nuts. It is crazy.
Yeah, but here we have all these queers with flags. Rainbow flag.
Yeah.
Right?
Pride.
And this is Queer Nation, and we're here to stay. And we're going to take over. Take over what? You guys die. You have to go into our society to get people to join your group, because your group doesn't multiply. You have to brainwash people to join your group.
Yep. That's right. Because
no queers are born. Queers are made. Queers are made.
Exactly. But you understand, as you've talked about and we've mentioned before, Satan is not a creator. He's a destroyer.
Right.
So he can't, he just destroys what God created. That's all. He can't create. He has to take God's creation and distort it. That's what he does.
Boy, the pigs don't have psychologists. They don't have therapists.
Yeah.
The kids don't. Nope. The pigs don't go to counseling. The pigs, the chickens don't go to. You know, think about it. I'm a chicken. I have to push this egg out. I have to push the egg out every day. Oh, I need counseling. I need counseling. I need to push this egg out. I mean, it's crazy. It's insane.
It's insane. Oh, I knew something was wrong when they were having these male hugging parties.
Wow.
Comfort. I knew things were going downhill. Oh boy. Okay. We'll move on. I want to put audio 5 on. Can you go to that? Now, this is a story. Now, first up, this is the founder of Global Fire Ministries, and that's in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Now, he claimed to be a prophet, pastor, messenger of God, revivalist. Mm-hmm. However, he died August 10th.
And
I think it was a heart attack, but I'm not sure. He was like 59.
All
but
right.
Here's the thing. He had 8 kids, and he'd been married 25 years, but he left her to pursue his own interests and still kept within the church. He's on the Elijah list, prophets, by the way.
Oh,
Yeah. So he left to pursue his own interests, and his wife took over the church. Well, you know, he just keeled over August 10th, and I believe it was a heart attack, although they're not really announcing much that
right,
I can find
right.
as of this story. So
okay.
do you want to play that audio?
Here it is.
Not very long.
Hey, everybody. Jeff Jansen with Jeff Jansen Ministries International. I heard the Lord say this morning that many that have been hidden are coming out of the cave. There are many new prophets, new leaders, new people coming forward with a fresh message of restoration, reconciliation for those that have been despondent and brokenhearted. God is doing something fresh and something new. The Lord is really dealing with his leaders and really dealing with the church, putting his fingers on things because he's preparing us for an outpouring and, I believe, a revival that will touch not just America, but the nations of the earth. So be encouraged. Something fresh is coming forward, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit and power, fresh rip.
Well, I guess you won't be part
not for
of
him.
It. No.
Not today.
No, they better put you on ice if you want to stay fresh.
Oh yeah, he left. I don't know exactly, you know, what all had happened. I had a better audio on that. That one was just introducing you to who this man was. You know.
Okay. Okay.
I had a really good audio on it, because a year ago, can I send this over right now?
Sure, send it over.
Do we have time for that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because a year ago, he was asked to step down, and, you know, of course, because of everything going on, so I think this is the one. I'm just going to send it straight over. That's a better audio. Now, that gave you an idea of who it was. If you notice, I think we've talked about him before because of his rooster hairdo. You know, remember
Perhaps.
You talked about that? You
Perhaps.
Said he looks
yeah.
like a
yeah.
rooster.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Okay, so I just sent one where it says he was asked to step down.
Okay.
That's another good one.
All right. Come on over. Hurry up. I'm clicking on refresh to see if I got... Okay, here it is. All right, here he is. Mr. Rooster Rooster.
Hey, everybody. Sean here, and just a quick update today. But it would seem that God really is cleaning house and more pastors are stepping down or being asked to step down. And today we have Jeff Jansen. You may remember him as one of the false Trump prophets that just can't seem to let Trump leave, or maybe you've seen him on the Sid Roth show. Perhaps you've seen him at a dead-raising convention with David Hogan, who claims to have raised over 500 people from the dead, yet has no proof. Or maybe you've seen him grave-soaking on William Branham's tombstone. You might have seen episodes where he claims God created huge gemstones out of thin air, like this diamond here. Or maybe you've seen Prophet Jeff speak at conventions with other false teachers like Benny Hinn, Kat Kirk, Tracy Cook, Jeremiah Johnson, Larry Sparks, Joan Hunter, Katie Souza, and a collection of other Sid Roth regulars. Regardless of how you know Jeff, it would appear that he is leaving his wife to pursue his own desires. Not only his wife, but his 8 children. A statement from Global Fire Ministry says that Jeff has been asked to step down as a co-senior leader due to unscriptural and unbiblical behavior. You can read a whole list of reasons why this occurred here. But instead of repenting and restoring his relationships with family and God, he decided to go his own way. And Global Fire has said that whatever direction he goes now does not have their blessing. So, while we're happy to see him step out of the spotlight and preaching, it's really sad about his family. Of course, we should pray that God would truly convict Jeff and bring him to repentance and a real relationship with God. But I wonder, how many of these people have been given over to their desires by God, and if our prayer even actually helps? In a video we did a long time ago called Should We Pray for Bethel, we talk about the book of Jeremiah and how it says that we are told not to pray for some people and that God will not even hear our prayers. We should definitely pray for people being led astray by false teachers, but have some of these leaders cross the point of no return? Well, only God knows, but it would seem that 2 Timothy 3 is quite true when saying these people will go from bad to worse, in all areas it would seem. Anyhow, we'll just leave it here for today, but as always, feel free to leave your thoughts and comments below, and until next time, take care and God bless.
Yeah.
No need to pray now.
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah. And
I don't mean to laugh about that, but yeah, I think about it, all these prophecies he had, you know, everything he was saying about there. And, you know, what was that? Cat Kerr. Cat Kerr endorsed him, of course, you know.
Sure.
She said saw him in heaven, by the way.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
She went up to heaven.
Yeah. Sure.
Sure.
And
a tornado, and it tore a town apart.
Sure. Yeah, I saw him going to heaven. He hitched the ride on the yellow submarine. That's how he got up there.
Don't somebody somebody take that clip and.
Exactly. Yeah.
Then you're in trouble.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Don't say see.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy, isn't it? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what news I can get to on here. How about Audio 4? Let's see what T.D. Jakes is up to.
Okay, Audio 4.
Yeah,
let's
try that.
All righty. Charismatic false prophet likes to twist the touch, not my anointed passage.
Oh, you're going
to
love
their own passions. Okay. Let's see what this clown was saying. All right.
When God anoints a person, no matter what they do, be careful about putting your mouth on them because they belong to God. If it's any bringing down to be done, God will bring them down, not you. Because if you touch what God has anointed, you become an enemy, not of the person, but an enemy of God. Talk to me, somebody.
Yeah.
Well, talk to him, Pastor.
Talk
to him.
Sure, sure. Moron.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Moron.
Let's just use terms like that now. Moron. I don't think so.
That's
no.
It. That's it. Plain
that's
and simple. Plain and simple.
Yep. Okay. We have a whistleblower. Oh, do you want to talk anything more about him?
No.
Other than
it's
ridiculous
just,
and
you've
done.
It's just, yeah. That's, you know. That's a guy. They preach those sermons periodically to see if they still have the people in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And if the crowd is going crazy, if the crowd's jumping up and down, he knows he can do whatever he wants to, and he's going to get away with it. That's what those sermons are about.
Mm-hmm. Well, fortunately, you are reversing that with what you're teaching. And you're doing a good job, too. You're sorting all this out, all this craziness.
Yeah, not too many people are listening to what I have to say. So, you know, he's got 25,000 that are listening to him, and I have 50. So, you know, it's an uphill battle.
Well, you know, I've listened, I looked at even Blog Talk. I was looking, you know, at the side as you're going on. Actually, I was making sure what time I was on one day. This was a few months ago. It's like, am I on at 1 or 2 today? Because I know we shifted it 1 week time or something, or the day. I forget what it was. But I was looking at it, and as I'm looking at the side, I got the time thing. I'm looking at the side, and I was looking at all these different sites on Blog Talk that were like psychics, all kinds of things, crazy stuff, crazy
mm-hmm.
things. And they had like 600 and some thousand listeners, you know, people
right.
that listen in. You know, you open up and you saw the numbers, and it was evident that they really like the crazy stuff more than they do the truth. That's, you know, that's
sure.
the thing. They want the psychics. They want these prophets. They want the weird stuff out there. The Zodiac, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They want to know about, you know, astrology, all this kind of stuff, anything but the truth.
Right.
And
right.
so you start to realize, and you can look at that at YouTube too, the crazier the person or, you know, whatever it is, they have a huge amount of people who follow them. That's why it's a broad gate, you
right.
know? It's a broad
yep.
gate.
It sure
We'd
is.
Much rather watch
these...
that. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
So.
Yep. But why? You know, you got to ask yourself, why is T.D. Jakes preaching that message? Is something about to come out on him? That
maybe.
He looks,
oh yeah.
He looks,
That's a good thought.
yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
That could be prophetic.
yeah, you know, those are the little questions that have to be asked because, you know, Mr. Jakes has his proclivities, you know.
Yeah.
Mr. Jakes likes to put on certain outfits and certain things, and he's got his little proclivities.
Massages.
He's T.D. Jakes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so if Bishop Eddie Long mentors somebody's son and molests him, well, you can't touch the Lord's anointed. Mm-hmm. You know, you just can't do it.
Yeah.
Let God handle it. Let God do it. Don't you do it.
Yeah.
Don't you take matters into your own hands. Don't you do it now.
Well,
so,
Jeff Jansen there, God did handle it.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying? Sure.
He's done.
He's not getting up at sunrise doing cock-a-doodle-doo anymore.
No.
He's the doodle-doo right now. He's in the ground doing the doodle-doo.
It's do or die, and
that's,
he got
that's
the second
it.
number two.
That's it.
I don't know.
So, oh, yeah.
You could be right thinking that, bro. Now that I'm thinking about it, that could be right. You know, why is he just doing that now? Why is that, you know, normally it's something's coming up or, you know, he's done something. They've done something when they do that.
Well, again, you know, why preach a message? First of all, T.D. Jakes has all those people eating out of the palm of his hand. The
mm-hmm.
25,000 or so that go to his church, they're all eating out of the palm of his hand, all of them. Okay? So you have to say to yourself, why preach that message when these people will have you do no wrong? Well,
exactly.
Maybe. I've done some wrong, and this is just to prep them.
Reverse psychology.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, it's like it's like if I came home and I preached a message on love your husband even if he commits adultery.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? My wife's going to say, honey,
what'd you do?
You were preaching this morning. What aren't you telling me?
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Or, you know, yeah. So,
honey, love bug sugar. Sweetheart,
right, or as I'm preaching, she'll slip me a little note, which I will take a glance at, and she'll say, all your clothes will be out on the street when you get home today. Right?
Welcome home.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, this is, you know, why are you preaching that kind of a message? That makes no sense to be preaching that kind of a message.
Well, we will find out. We may find out, Ben. I'm going to keep an eye on that now, bro. I am.
Yeah.
You know, I thought of something, too. Something. Now, this is totally different. You know, I'm reading about your, you know, epidemic of monkeypox there.
Right.
You know, supposedly. Now they got a booster for monkeypox, right?
Right, right.
Do you remember about a year ago we did a show, and a news show, and I was telling you that in, I think it was either Tennessee or something, there were monkeys on a truck, and they got in, and they were lab monkeys, and the truck supposedly got in an accident, and a few of the monkeys died, but two escaped. And we were making fun of it, and I said, watch him come out with some kind of disease with the monkeys. And it's funny, they call it monkeypox.
Sure.
I said, we were laughing because I said, then they'll have a pandemic and it'll be, you know, it'll kill off such a population and all that. And that was a year ago. We were joking about it. Because I thought, well, what are they going to use this for, this overturn? Now, you don't get it from a monkey. I don't know. I haven't read up on it. But the thought that we even mentioned it, I said, they'll come up with some pandemic for that, too, you know, and to have that happen. And I'm thinking about that just yesterday, and I thought, wait a minute, we talked about that. That was crazy at the time. So, you know.
And they have vaccines for everything now. They have vaccines.
Oh, yeah.
They have vaccines now.
Because a lot of people are getting different things, I guess, that they never had before.
Yeah. It's scary.
Yeah, I'm worried about all these. Yeah, it is scary. It is scary. I mean, you know.
And Joe Biden and his wife, Jill, they've had every injection imaginable. And Joe's had COVID twice. And Jill has COVID now. Jill, poor Jill.
Yeah.
She has COVID.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and they've had, I think they've each had 40 injections or so. And they came out with COVID.
Yeah, they're trying to kick that one back up again.
Right. And then they're saying, hey, don't forget to get your family vaxxed. For what?
Yeah.
For what?
Exactly. That was our governor. I told my husband, go buy paint in case she closed down the hardware store. Paint stores again. You know, minute she says, oh, I've got mild because I was. The thing with it is they say, they'll tell you, they will argue with you, the people that are, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid, they'll say, well, the symptoms aren't as bad. You know, with this, this time the symptoms, because of the injections. And people believe that. So, You know, it's just, they lie all the time. Okay, I have a quick thing here. I'm looking at the time. We had a whistleblower with Inside Hillsong.
Okay.
And she's saying that there's major financial misconduct going on. Well, we kind of knew that anyway. But it's a former employee, and she's suing, you know, the denomination. Remember, it ought to be its own denomination. Alleging the Australia Megacorp has moved millions out of the country to hide its finances, you know, from the Charity Regulations Committee
on tax fraud,
by the way. She alleged Hillsong leaders were concealing and downplaying how much money that they were bringing in and sending large amounts of sums of tax-free money to former senior global pastor Brian and Bobby Houston. They were getting the money. They've since resigned, you know, because of all the scandals. There was one right after another with them, right? So she also alleges that they were moving money around in ways that the Australian charity laws do not permit, such as using money that was given to the Hillsong Foundation Trust, which is all tax deductible, to cover the church's $9 million deficit. They're worth millions and billions of dollars. $9 million deficit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it. So she said that they were sending large amounts of money overseas, which is prohibited because the regulators don't know if the money was being spent on charitable services, which
right.
it was earmarked for. So they can't tell it when they're doing this. So more allegations included are that musicians were classified as pastors solely for the purposes which enable them to receive half their salaries tax-free while also earning millions of dollars of royalties from their music.
Wow.
So amazing, isn't it?
Yep.
Of course they
yep.
resigned because of all the sexual allegations that have been going on with that place. We've done stories on it to when his father was pastor.
Right.
So, of course, Hillsong, they have no comment. And I say we're the only idiots paying taxes. paying the taxes.
Yeah, but, you know, all of that money that they get and all that money that they use, they get it
mm-hmm.
under the pretense of the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
All of that is blood money. That's what we would
yep.
consider blood money. And
yep.
boy, are they gonna have hell to pay?
Yep, that's right.
So you can get over down here, but you're not getting over when you stand before Christ. That's not happening.
That is correct.
So
that's right.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
Yep,
we're seeing all these things, and, you know, so that's the world we live in this week.
Hey, you don't mind
if I play
that audio you sent me on the Catholic High School Cheers, a drag queen?
No,
okay.
Go ahead. You wanted it.
this is a Catholic high school. They're in chapel.
Well, one said Catholic and one said Episcopal or Lutheran or something. But I believe
all
it
right.
is the Catholic. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah, it's Catholic. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to see here. They have drag queens coming in to the chapel service. Here it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, the students are giving her a standing ovation. Standing ovation. It's sad. It's sad.
Her or him?
Well, yeah, they're giving him. Yeah, sure. Yes, they're giving Elmer
Queer
Fudd.
Theory.
Yeah, they're giving Mr. Elmer Fudd a standing ovation. It's just so sad. So sad.
Yeah, that's queer theory. Now
yeah.
we know.
Absolutely,
so.
And it's everywhere.
Yep.
Now I'm gonna have to. Now I'm gonna have to go downstairs and talk to Benji and ask Benji, does he know what he is? And if not, I'm gonna have to get him a psychologist.
Yep.
And so Benji can figure it out because he's probably
yep.
confused. He's probably
yes.
confused. Maybe some of the dogs in the park told. Maybe some of the dogs in the park told him that he was a she and not a he. So we're gonna have to have that talk. So
you're gonna have to have that talk.
Yeah, yeah. And all I have to do is give him a swift kick in the pants, and he'll know what he is.
Yeah.
That's the psychologist
he's going
through
it.
That's it. A swift kick in the pants. So, great show as always. And you have the last word.
Thanks.
And I'm glad we did the show despite the thunderstorms and the rain and everything else. And the, listen, remember in the early days how the internet here never worked and the squirrels were always chewing on the lines and all that? It's amazing. It's that doesn't happen anymore. I wonder what happened. You know?
I don't know.
I was thinking about that the other day. I was saying, did the squirrels move away? What happened?
Do you want to hear something funny? You said that because I had a squirrel for the first time who was sitting on my back porch, right? Now, we have different levels of the porch. It was up high, and I yelled at it. Wasn't leaving. I yelled at it again, and I realized he's trying to get to the bird feeder and can't figure out how to jump across without killing himself to get on the bird feeder. And I thought when I was watching him and I'm yelling at him, he's not moving. He's not afraid of me. And I thought about that, how they chewed your wires and ruined shows. I thought, now he's hanging out close to the house. Could have a problem on our end. So,
that's what the people over at the internet providers told me. That was the story they gave me.
Yes, exactly.
All righty.
I saw one hanging on an electrical wire not long ago. Go ahead. Sorry. Well, have a great day. Yeah, have a great day, and we'll see you next week. Take care. Bye.
Just the two.